You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Tim McMaster here, joined by Brittany Giroli, our MLB.com Orioles reporter, and first podcast of 2016. Brittany, so first off, Happy New Year.
Thanks, you too.
All right, so we're into the new year, and it seems like when you look at years past with the Orioles and in the Dan Duquette era, at least, this seems to be the time where he really gets busy. January, February, he likes to do his work later in the off season. Is that fair to say?
I think so, and I think that this year, with the way the market has been slow to play in certain areas, that it's kind of the right strategy, at least for this season.
All right, well, we have to, I think the place you have to start and end maybe with the Orioles is the continued saga of Chris Davis, and will he end up back in Baltimore? Although I'm not sure really how much has changed since we last talked back just after the winter meetings. It seems like it's just a waiting game here. So how long are the Orioles willing to wait to hear from Chris Davis?
I think that's really the big question now, and you kind of hit the nail on the head with the word saga, and that's really what it's been. I was told yesterday there's nothing new on anything regarding Chris Davis, and I think it really comes down to not the Orioles per se, but Davis and Davis's camp and what they're going to do. We haven't heard about any other teams with any interest. We haven't heard really about any other offers for Chris Davis. So I think the Orioles know they are the front runner. They may be his only suitor at this point in time. You know, I don't know, but it certainly looks that way as an outsider looking in. So it's going to really take Davis and Scott Boras to kind of take a hard look at what's going on and maybe say this is the best deal we're going to get. Now, the Orioles are looking at other options. They haven't really heavily pursued anybody, but I think the time is going to come here sooner rather than later that if there's still no movement on the Chris Davis front, they're going to be forced to move on.
Yeah, it's maybe helped the Orioles a little bit that the rest of the market, as far as outfielders go, has been so slow to develop. But now it sounds like Alex Gordon definitely heading back to the Kansas City Royals. So there's one guy off your board. You obviously still have some other talented guys out there with Cespedes and Upton. But how does Gordon signing and agreeing to go back to Kansas City, how does that affect this whole situation?
Well, I think it helps the Orioles because if you look at Gordon and the money that he took a discount to go back to Kansas City, and perhaps that's a signal that the market's a little bit softer for hitters than people realize. Well, maybe it goes to show that teams, after spending a lot of money before the calendar flip, are kind of done with those really expensive contracts. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with guys like Justin Upton and Cespedes and Dexter Fowler and the like, because honestly, looking at Alex Gordon, and he was right in the mix with all of those premier outfielders available. The fact that he settled for a contract in the low 70s, and I know this is his hometown team, a city he likes playing for, organization he wanted to stay with, but it's still hard to fathom that Chris Davis would get anything close to the $200 million he's asking for, given the market and given what's kind of transpired here over the last day.
Yeah, Davis just a couple of years younger than Gordon, so you would think he won't get that much. Now, when you look at those other players, Cespedes, Upton, is there a chance the Orioles, you said they're you know, staying in touch with other players. Would they go with a big-ticket player if they can't get Davis, or are they more likely to spend less and go with a lesser big-name player?
I think they'd like to pursue, if they can't get Davis, a bigger-name player, someone to add power to that lineup, kind of balance things out. I really like Upton. I think he's a good fit. Just unfortunate that the Orioles have such a weakness and such a big hole in terms of finding a left-handed hitter with pop, which is exactly what Chris Davis is. And getting Upton, you know, he's obviously not a left-handed hitter, and then that would be a big strike against them in their lineup, but they're still not ruling anything like that out.
Now we're seeing more and more deals with opt-out clauses, and there seem to be popping up everywhere. It used to be you barely ever see it. We saw Alex Rodriguez get one way back, but now more and more players are getting them. Scott Kazmir gets one after 1 year, but Dan Duquette's on the record as saying he's kind of against the opt-out clause in any of these deals. Is that something that at some point maybe he's going to have to revisit his thinking on that as these become more and more prevalent in the game?
I think so, and you know, they didn't feel confident offering Kazmir that kind of a deal, and there's a couple players they looked at that they just weren't confident with those kind of opt-outs, but I think the way things are going right now, it's turning more into that. So So, sorry, that's my dog in the background. Well, I've tried to keep quiet for this podcast as best as I can. But, yeah, I think it's definitely something they're going to have to look at. And, again, they're hampered by their market.
What does the dog think of the Chris Davis situation?
Seriously, he's very excited about it, clearly.
All right, so they obviously still need pitching as well. When you look at that market, there's been talk that the O's have interest in Yovani Gallardo. How serious are those rumors?
You're talking about a guy who's been on their radar for quite some time. A guy who really they would love to have, they would love to add. And I think personally he's probably one of the better available starting pitchers. But I just don't know. I don't know if I see the Orioles actually doing that. I would really like for them to. I think that them missing out on Scott Kazmir was probably one of the better fitting free agents for them. But again, I don't know what the money will involve, and the Orioles have been a little hesitant to offer some of these opt-outs and contract clauses that are happening.
Now, Gallardo has a pick attached to him. The Orioles, they could get two picks back in theory with Chen and Davis. Now, hopefully they hope to get Davis back so they wouldn't get that draft pick, but would that make them more likely to be willing to take on a guy who's going to cost them a first-round draft pick?
I don't know if it makes them more likely. I think that, you know, they'd obviously like to not lose the draft pick at all, but it's just a scenario where if they do end up having a guy and liking a guy at this point in time that's going to cause them to surrender one, so be it. They've definitely been an organization that has really, really emphasized the draft and trying to grow from within, because in order for them to compete as a mid-market team, they're going to have to hit on draft picks. They're going to have a really nice homegrown base. So I don't think it's necessarily a deal-breaker, but it's just another reason why a guy like Scott Kazmir, I thought, a guy who didn't require them to surrender that draft pick, would have been a good move.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it's early January, which also always means Hall of Fame announcement time, and the last few years, Mike Mussina has been on the ballot as far as the Hall of Fame goes. Hasn't gotten a lot of traction yet, although he's safely stayed on the ballot. He's a five-time All-Star, won 7 Gold Gloves, really had a great career starting in Baltimore before he went on to the New York Yankees. When you look at what Mike Mussina did, Brittany, do you feel like he's a guy who, the more years go by, he's going to kind of start to get close to that 75%?
I would hope so. I think he's expected to make a pretty big jump from last year to this year. He's a guy that people often overlook. So consistent, but never won a World Series, never won a Cy Young Award. A guy who I think eventually over time will continue to get closer to that 75% mark. I think people were projecting that he was going to jump up from 24% of the votes to well over 50, which is a big year-to-year jump. And just considering the era in which he pitched, how much emphasis was on these high-powered offenses, I think he's a guy who really deserves to get a look and obviously probably won't get in this year, but maybe over the course of the next few years, you'll see him really kind of state his case.
Yeah, he's one of those guys I think that's really been helped by the two big classes we've seen the last 2 years. 7 players going into the Hall of Fame over the last 2 years has really opened up that ballot, and I think given voters a chance to look more at a guy like Mussina. And it feels like once a guy gets to 50 or pushes 60%, it almost becomes an inevitability that eventually he's going to get up to that point. And I agree, Mike Mussina definitely deserving of that recognition. All right, so Mussina not getting in this year, we'll see down the road. As far as minor moves for the Orioles since we last talked to you, Brittany, they brought back Paul Janisch. He's a guy that they had non-tendered back in December. Veteran guy, 33 years old. How does he fit into this team, and will there end up being a spot on that 25-man roster for him?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it depends on what they end up doing everywhere else. He's certainly a guy that's very well thought of in the organization, a really good guy. Very strong defensively, and really an excellent clubhouse guy. I think ideally they'd have him as a reserve. He'd add some depth to their roster. And even at AAA, if necessary, that's where he spent the majority of last year. So it's hard to say where he'll slot in. I think mostly right now they like his versatility. They like his defense. And again, he's just a very good clubhouse type of guy, and that's really been emphasized under manager Buck Showalter.
When you look at the calendar as far as on-field activities go, the Orioles have a mini camp coming up in Sarasota next week, and Two names we've talked about really a lot during this offseason have been Dylan Bundy and Hunter Harvey. Obviously, they're top two prospects, two guys that are going to be there in Sarasota. How big a week is it for those two young guys?
Huge. Dylan Bundy in particular, he's out of minor league options. They're really going to try and find a spot for him in that bullpen. And Hunter Harvey and him both coming off of injuries. Both really disappointing minor league prospects so far, and obviously very well thought of. Especially a guy like Bundy was thought of as a top-of-the-rotation type of arm. The Orioles really hope to get him on track, and seeing how they are next week, seeing what stage they're in, could go a long way, obviously, for really kind of evaluating how much they can use them this season, if at all. And I think the organization is kind of cautiously holding out hope that these two guys can really be a factor this season.
All right, Brittany Giroli, our MLB.com Orioles reporter, thanks a lot for the time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.